Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults. Also, the views expressed in Those Damn Ross Kids do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. Hey, Chris, do you suppose that the other dinosaurs got mad at Thesaurus because he used too many words?
Am I supposed to take that seriously?
Between Brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
Episode number 43 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
You are?
Chris.
And I am Cole.
That's right.
And this is part one of a two-part episode.
Over 2 weeks.
We're recording them both in the same session.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice us getting tired towards the end, please excuse us. We'll try and edit out all of the fighting that we do,
mm-hmm.
The arguments and the well, let's just be honest here, fist fights.
We're just trying to squeeze them in before 9/11, right?
Yeah. Well, happy 9/11. Hey, Chris, I brought you a cake.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Two candles.
Can we light one before the other?
About an hour apart. Oh. No, I'm not. We're obviously not making light of 9/11 itself.
No, just how much fun you can have with cake.
It's kind of like on the Ace of Cakes and the Cake Boss and all of those things where the entire program is, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to design this cake and it's going to be a Muppet cake and how are we going to hold it up? Like, that part's bullshit. But then, like, the part that is the only entertaining thing in the entire hour-long program is watching them try and carry it up a flight of stairs.
Oh, yeah. They should, for as much as you pay for that cake, they should assemble it, like, on site.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, we have this gigantic 6-foot-long structure. Now watch us, you know, kind of reenact a Lucy skit and just...
This is the 4,000th cake we've made. Yet somehow we never think about how we're going to move it before we make it.
We never do. It's bigger than the door. God damn it.
Every day when I get to work, I write it on my hand, think about how we're going to move it, and then I wash my hands and go to work.
Small cake. What I like cakes that are shaped like cars because then you can get into them and drive them off.
Oh, really?
To Candy Town.
I don't think I saw that episode.
No?
Mm-mm.
Fully functioning cake car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's delicious. Mm. Do you know what the wheels were?
Gumdrops.
Chocolate chip cookies. No, we weren't making fun of 9/11. I think it's ridiculous the amount of 9/11 related programming that has kind of seeped into the airwaves, like, you know, Comedy Central, spend 9/11 with us, you know, and, you know, the Learning Channel, what do we learn from 9/11, and the History Channel, UFO conspiracies and 9/11. It seems gauche to me.
There's a lot of time to fill between the Super Bowl and week one.
Exactly. Well, hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
Nah, I do.
Okay.
It has to do with signs of the times.
You mean like road signs or?
Nope.
Like ye old pub?
You have one of my stories, don't you?
Hot, high voltage?
Mm-mm.
Stoner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Damn you.
Go ahead.
Nah, oh, okay.
No, do it.
Minnesota Public Radio reports that the Bemidji City Council has put on, what?
Can I correct you on that?
Yeah.
Bemidji.
Bemidji.
Bemidji. Okay, there we go.
City Council has put on hold plans to change the name of the street named Stoner Avenue. Some 15 street signs along Stoner Avenue disappear each year, and city officials estimate they've probably spent close to $20,000 replacing the signs over the past decade. At a public hearing held this week, Stoner Avenue residents convinced council members to table the issue, complaining that changing the name would be a hassle for more than 40 property owners who live along the street. Those residents would be forced at great cost to them to update their driver's license and other important documents and databases. They would have to get a new return address stamp.
That's a pain.
There's lots, yeah, there's probably $10 and 20 minutes investment there. I mean, really, that's what we're looking at.
You would think that there would be some kind of like extenuating circumstance, at least with your driver's license. They would comp you with the cost of updating.
No, that's not your fault.
Right. It's an extenuating circumstance. It's kind of like, mm-hmm. Oh, there was a landslide, and instead of being on Elm, I'm on Maple now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then 1, 2, 3 on top of a car. You know, it's just, these things happen, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, the street was named for Marcus Stoner, Bemidji's first city engineer in the 1800s. The name they were thinking of changing it to was Chronic Masturbator Avenue. That way, nobody would want to take it and put it above their bed. Because, like, hey, I like weed. Okay, you know, that says something about you. But then, hey, I can't stop furiously just yanking at my chain. And that says another thing about you. It's much less flattering.
Absolutely.
Chronic Masturbator Avenue. You can't stop till you get enough. Oh.
The city has agreed to explore options to make the signs less vulnerable to theft, including using different types of screws or using taller signposts.
You know what you should do? We switch entirely to LED sign technology. You could put advertisements on there.
Mm-hmm.
You could put birthday announcements. Hey, you could say, hey, the Kleinfeld party is over here. You know, if you're looking for the Kleinfeld party.
Garage sale.
I like the idea of advertisements. Like, this is a Verizon street. The street brought to you by that. I mean, we could corporatize all of our infrastructure. Instead of, like, this highway adopted by, you know, Cosmo Kramer, this highway is adopted by the Boeing Corporation. And it's a runway now, but oh well. LED signs. That way you take it. It doesn't have anything in it. You know, and then you can just program whatever you want. That's fine.
I think we're on a totally different stream of thought here. I guess I'm thinking more practically on this.
I'm thinking more awesomely.
They've spent $20,000 on signs, okay?
Right, okay.
So now they're gonna invest in not only more signs.
I'm saying
invest in some sort of special space age security screw, mm-hmm. to screw them on to taller posts, which they will have to buy.
Right.
And some people on the street are actually advocating that they actually use surveillance video cameras to be able to
like
catch
that.
People who steal them.
I like that. Put tracking devices on all of the stoner signs, just little GPS chips, like an RFID kind of thing. Yeah, people walking around, little wands going, whoop, 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 Jimmy. You know, if they find Jimmy, then Jimmy Dunn took it.
Jimmy did take it.
Yeah.
Jimmy's paranoia was real.
It's always Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Chris, I have a shocking revelation for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're going to want to continue doing the show with me after this, but I can't stop. I can't keep living a lie. I'm Gumby, damn it. Chris, a would-be robber was laughed out of a California 7-Eleven due to his choice of costume. The claymation animated character Gumby. The clerk thought the man was playing a prank and insisted that he didn't have the time for it. Gumby then fumbled for something, possibly a gun, before fleeing the store in terror. The robber managed to grab 27 cents from the take a penny, leave a penny, leave a penny, take a penny jar, which he then promptly dropped as he left the store. I'm Gumby, damn it.
That actually carries more weight if Samuel L. Jackson says it.
Well, or
don't
if Eddie
try
Murphy.
To do it.
Or if Eddie Murphy says it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved all the headlines that this generated, because there are only three characters in the entire Gumby series: Gumby, Pokey, and Blockhead.
There were four. Backdrop.
But what?
Backdrop.
Who was Backdrop?
Wasn't that show like on a white background?
Really bizarre series. Yeah. Here's what I'm wondering: like, why is Gumby such a sticky character?
It's a lot like Yo Gabba Gabba.
Regarding you know, disregarding the fact that he's sticky because he's made of clay. Why is he so sticky? Like, why is that stuck around? It's like Mickey Mouse. Like, what remarkable has Mickey Mouse done in the past, I'd say, 50 years that he's still like an icon, except for that he's put on all that Disney shit.
And that's it.
That's it, right? It's just he's part of the branding now.
Mm-hmm.
But Gumby, like it was a cool show. It was fucking nuts, but I just don't understand why somebody would like think robbery, 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 Gumby, aside from the fact that they rhyme.
Cheap costume,
I guess.
Gumby was on clearance.
Yeah, over on the rack of forgotten mascots, mm-hmm. next to the Arby's glove.
People are making robberies a lot. Why do you do that? What is it about your mouth that makes that happen?
I don't know. I don't know what I
it
do.
It makes me so angry because it's so simple to not do it.
I don't know.
You take it away from your mouth a little bit and let air escape before you slam it down. you don't keep the bottle in your hand like it was a cock while your mouth is still on it and cram it on the table. You're either A, going to knock a tooth out, or B, you're going to jam it down your throat as it suds all over your face.
Chris is referring to the fact that every time I set down a bottle of beer, it foams over. Every time. Especially with High Life, because it's a very sudsy beer. I don't get it either.
I just don't. There's got to be a way to solve it.
Dennis says, my friend Dennis from the Stand Under the Don't Tree Riddle Me This, he says that it's because I take quick sips. But I don't know. I don't understand, because I've done slow sips and it does the same thing.
You just drink like a fucking person.
I have problems, Chris. Help. I have a drinking problem.
Continue with your story.
America's constipated economy is manifesting itself in an odd place. Baby's butts.
Okay.
In what would be called the Pampers Indicator, U.S. moms spent 9% less on disposable diapers than they did a year earlier, despite the fact that birth rates have slipped only slightly. And yet, diaper rash cream sales are up. Proof that moms are changing their baby's diapers less frequently to stretch their budgets could be in the angry red rash, a likely result of babies sitting too long in soiled diapers.
So people don't have enough money, so they're neglecting their kids?
Exactly.
I guess that makes sense. Let's look at it the other way around. Let's start at the other side of this problem. Do you think they're just feeding their kids less because they can't afford food?
That's where I was going. Get it on the front end.
Get it on the front end. You just head it off because diapers are expensive. Baby food is expensive. If you're going to sacrifice one, you knock them both out, you know?
Mm-hmm. But then you're buying more clothes because of its swollen abdomen.
Can you get maternity clothes for your baby?
I think so.
Yeah? Just like a real loose front?
Padded bra for your baby. You can probably do that. Yeah.
Oh, like a baby with rocking tits?
Yeah.
Well, look at that little baby boy with the rocking tits.
Mm-hmm.
It might be due to the birth control in the water. Nope. Did that. I put that padded bra on that baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Look at that baby bump.
Look at that.
So that's what happens when they float under the cover of a pool.
Jesus Christ. I just like the idea of a baby bump on a baby. It's a baby bump.
Yeah.
Chris, have you ever bought something at a gas station just to apologize for what you did to their restroom?
No.
No? No. While we're on the topic, I mean,
I've looked for something that I didn't want to buy and then walked out. Like, I've lingered for longer than I should have, just to be like, yeah, you don't have, you know, salt and vinegar almonds. So I'm gonna go.
I'm just curious. I mean, because I could probably fill an entire episode with talking about my colon and its various misgivings. But since we're on the topic of diapers and stuff, I've just wondered, because my digestive tract has agoraphobia. The second that I'm in a situation where I feel like I won't be able to get access to a restroom, shit just goes haywire, literally. And so driving on a highway, I'd be like, oh God, I better stop at this gas station, because otherwise, you know, I'm not going to have another place for like 20 miles. So there we go. And I've just, like, this last time I was on a trip, I just wrecked a place and I bought a bottle of water. I didn't say anything. I said, this is for you for what you're going to have to do in about 10 minutes. But I just wondered, because it wasn't good. Chris, you know what's funny?
What's funny, Cole?
Crippling depression.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, right? Health.com had a list of surprising causes of depression. Can I tell you a couple of things that may be bumming you out without you realizing it?
Yeah, I would like to know why I'm bummed out.
Okay. Aside from the obvious reasons. You can go back and listen to past episodes. It's a pretty sharp and sobering picture. Chris, summer weather. Seasonal affective disorder doesn't just happen in winter. In fact, 1% of people are affected negatively by the bright and sunny days. Smoking messes with your chemicals. I assume any nicotine gets in there and messes with your neurotransmitters. Facebook, Chris, that can bum you out, make you sad. It's known as Facebook depression. If you spend too much time online, you develop an internet addiction, and you develop unrealistic expectations of, you see, as I do, a lot of people being successful on Facebook, and you're just kind of rotting away. Yeah, that'll make you sad. You know, seeing other people be happy. Pictures of your kid. Hey, screw you. The end of a TV show, Chris, makes you sad. Any kind of, like, ending to a long, you know, to a long-term relationship, which, you know, who hasn't called Norm their friend? Who hasn't called Norm MacDonald their friend on his many sitcoms? But your favorite show ends. I mean, I'm still trying to recover from the end of Firefly. Arrested Development, all these shows.
It was on for 5.5 episodes.
I know. It was sad, though. I liked it. And Chris, finally, too many choices. The study is done at grocery stores where people like walked into the pharmaceutical aisle. They just like, do I want to get, you know, Tylenol sinus or Tylenol sinus allergy or Tylenol cold and sinus or Tylenol cold and allergy? It's paralysis by an overabundance of choice. And all this kind of leads into perfectionism, and perfectionists are mostly depressed. Surprising causes of depression.
Now I know.
Now we know. Just watch it.
It's just as I thought. I should just not live anymore.
Nothing. Literally everything you do and experience is a reason to be sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It all leads to the disappointment that I feel right at this minute.
Exactly.
But there is one thing that makes me happy.
Does it?
Spaghetti night. James Ellis, 18, stabbed Alami Gatti more than 30 times on May 25th as the woman's two young children to a different father lay asleep upstairs. Immediately after the murder, Ellis was seen standing in the front garden covered in blood and holding two knives. He told police he was tired of hearing her moan about not making garlic bread to have with dinner.
That's one way to solve the problem.
He thought his relationship with her was finished, and although her nagging was terrible, he could not imagine her with anyone else. One note tab, spaghetti night.
Chris, that's good old-fashioned family fun. Do you suppose they're a Prego or Ragu family? I'm curious. I just want to know. It says a lot about a person. Or do they go store brand? Because I know some people do that. I go store brand.
I don't know.
You know, it's okay.
What are you going to do?
You get the store brand organic. It's the same price as that, good, big name crap, right?
It's all Mater water.
Mater water. Yeah, it's just squashed tomatoes. That's funny. No, it's not, actually. That's actually shocking. Well, shockingly depressing.
What is?
This? I didn't want to be with her anymore. Spaghetti made me snap. So I stabbed her. She's dead.
She was all going on and on about how she wanted garlic bread. No, I didn't make it.
So he's in jail, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure he's going to go away for a while.
Okay. You can't just do that. You can't just ruin spaghetti night. There's a national ordinance about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
There must be like a 5 second, like a one page summary of an event in somebody's life that explains exactly why they are who they are, like some kind of postcard that just describes, that decision that you made. I would love to get in there and inhabit that moment when that little switch flipped over in his head, and just to hear his inner monologue as he decided, hey, this is a reasonable course of action.
I'm pretty sure people who do shit like this don't have that.
No? you don't think that he rationalized it?
No.
Well, after the fact, maybe. I want to have some kind of insight, because I don't have an awful lot of insight into the way people act. I don't have an awful lot of insight into the way that I act. I was thinking about this. Think about something. Think about, just this phrase, okay? I love blank because I hate myself. Think about that phrase. No matter what you put in blank, it'll probably be true.
Are you doing like the flip side of the fat bastard?
What?
I eat because I'm unhappy and I'm unhappy because I eat?
Kind of, except I do everything because I'm unhappy.
I don't get it.
Okay. I'm just saying. I just there's the people have their reasons.
I don't hear it that way. I normally hear it the other way around. I hate myself because I love. Not I love because I hate myself.
Yeah. Just I like to drink because, maybe I don't like me.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe you feel like such a fish out of water, you should think about jumping in with the rest of us.
Yes, I'm an introvert. What can I say? I don't fit in. I'm not with the norms. Not with you normies.
You don't have to be so prideful.
Hey, Chris, I have if there's something that you know about me, and I think the audience knows about me as well, I am a huge fan.
Douchebag.
Of Ayn Rand.
You are, big time.
I am a gigantic fan of Ayn Rand. I believe in objectivism. I have read Atlas Shrugged just countless times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Fountainhead.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody is responsible. I believe that selfishness is a virtue. Okay, and the poor are poor for a reason. And there is just it's the power of man and the power of rape fantasies and the power of screwing the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That is who I am. And for so long, I felt like I was alone in this world. You know, there are very prominent people who like Ayn Rand. What's his name? Alan Greenspan. He's a big fan of Ayn Rand. Mm-hmm. It's like next to the Bible. It's the most like cited as like, this is a book that changed my life kind of things. But I don't have to be alone anymore, Chris. Cause there is a website. The Atlasphere is a social networking and dating site for fans of Ayn Rand. Quote from their marketing lingo. The human soul needs fuel. Works of art, such as Ayn Rand's novels, can provide that fuel at times. And friends with whom you share significant values can provide it. The Atlasphere was created to fill this gap. The need for a place where admirers of Ayn Rand's novels from around the world can meet easily and affordably 365 days a year to network, find shared interests, and perhaps, through our online dating service, even fall in love. And because I know that, you know, the majority of our listeners are also fans of Ayn Rand, I'm going to try and play matchmaker here. Can I read you some personals from their site, Chris?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. I love intelligent, sassy girls, particularly those working in consulting or investment banking. But other fields are great, too. Really, nothing is hotter than an accomplished girl in a suit, as long as she is willing to settle down and have my children. I want a girl who will support my ambitions against the naysayers in society. I want you to be successful. I want you to be accomplished. I want you to have ambition. Then I want you to take those things that I love about you and give them up and bear my sweet, sweet little objective as babies.
Sounds like the American dream.
It does, right?
Yeah. Take your shoes off. Shut up. Lay down.
I do this because I love you. She was real into the rape fantasies. It was unnerving.
No doubt. Can you flip those pancakes while I bang you?
Chris, you should contact me if you're a skinny woman. If your words are a meaningful progression of concepts rather than a series of vocalizations induced by your spinal cord for the purpose of complementing my tone of voice. If you've seen the meatbot, the walking automaton, the pod people, the dense, glazy-eyed substrate through which living organisms such as myself must escape to reach air and sunlight. If you've realized that if speech is to be regarded as a cognitive function, technically, they aren't speaking. And you don't have to listen. Chris, this guy's a catch. I don't know what to say.
Say your profile.
That's why I'm selling him so hard.
I know, Chris. I know that I was lulled to the point where I would just like do what you want with me.
Chris, the substrate, to see through the subs atomic meat bot. It's all there. I can read it again if you want.
Yeah, meat bot.
be my meat bot.
That's what I'll take away from that.
Yeah, meat bot.
Beat my meat bot.
He needs oil. My level of compatibility and confidence with myself and my own views is often misinterpreted by insecure people as being arrogant. I shave my own face with a straight razor.
Oh, this is you.
Putting razor sharp steel next to my throat every morning reminds me that I am alive. I don't watch or otherwise participate in any, quote, professional sports. I consider this obsession to be one of the biggest contributors to the degradation of the American character and integrity. Chris,
yeah.
The Atlasphere.
I wear pleather shorts. I practice curb stomping pumpkins.
Oh, man.
I drink vinegar in my coffee. I pluck my toe hair.
God, man.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to thank the people at the Something Awful Forums for selecting those quotes. I couldn't bear to look through that site. Actually, I think you had to register, and I was not about to give them my information.
Oh, well. Want to hear a story?
I do.
Okay. A Danish doctor is claiming that he took naked photographs of anorexia patients and forced them to use sex toys in an attempt to make them feel better about their bodies. It's because you suck at the end. That's why it does that.
Is it?
Yes, you tip it down and then you hear you sucking on the tip of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's why you do that. You don't put your lips all the way around it and make a vacuum.
Okay.
You leave your mouth open and dump the beer in. You don't suck off the end of it.
Sud problems, Chris. Sud problems.
Anyway, so he makes these anorexia patients. Get naked and he takes pictures of their genitals and forces them to use sex toys because he's telling them that that's the way that they're going to feel better about their bodies.
Okay.
The 50-year-old physician who specializes in treating people with eating disorders has told a court that the methodology used on at least 5 women was part of his alternative treatment. The doctor said, anorexic patients, generally speaking, have a hard time accepting how they look naked. That's why I took a number of photographs of genitalia to get them adjusted to seeing them. Talking about how he made one patient use a sex toy in front of him, the doctor told the court it was to help her. She was having a hard time with her sexuality and with her genitalia. It was to get her to feel better about her body.
This is actually part of a long line. It's a very rich tradition of treating women's medical problems by using sex toys.
Mm-hmm.
Like vibrators and dildos, they were originally prescribed as, you know, aids to reduce hysteria.
The word
hysteria, like hysterectomy, like all it was thought that all female imbalances were due to the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you use this and actually use that to treat mental illnesses until they realized it didn't work. Yes, masturbating is good for you, you know, in a certain amount, but it sounds like this guy was just being a creep. Sounds like he was just making dubious medical claims.
Sounds like he knows how to seize an opportunity.
Chris.
Sounds like he's a man of action.
Chris, you're acting like this is the first person who ever thought that maybe girls with low self-esteem might be easy to take advantage of sexually. That's not exactly a novel concept.
No, but he placed himself in a position of authority.
Right.
With vulnerable people. I'm not saying it's a new idea. I'm just saying it takes balls to flip the switch.
To go to the dark side?
Yeah.
Yeah, to do that. Were there photos available of this gentleman?
Because
I'm picturing somebody with weird eyebrows.
No, he was just Danish.
An attractive person doesn't do this.
He was kind of round.
Yeah?
Yeah. White stripes.
Did he have a hole?
A red belly.
Yeah. That's horrifying, though. Like
being raped by a Danish?
A little bit.
Yeah. I was sexually exploited by a breakfast treat. A little bit of Danish on a young tart.
Yeah, eating disorders, that's not funny, though. That's kind of sad.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is there more to the story?
Huh?
Is there more to the story?
No. I'm just saying that it's going to get worse.
Today?
Yeah.
Chris?
Cole?
Pete Schwede is a gourmet from the Northeast U.S., founder of Seasons Eatings and the creator of the delicious holiday treat, Pete's Schwede Balls. Now, Schwede Balls became a nationwide favorite after being featured on NPR's The Delicious Dish. Okay? To commemorate this, Ben & Jerry's has decided to partner with Pete Schwede to create a new flavor of ice cream, Pete's Schwede Balls, which features vanilla ice cream with a hint of rum, and is loaded with fudge-covered rum balls and milk chocolate malt balls. These balls are delicious in my mouth. Chris,
oh my God.
Do you know how many stores I went to today trying to find two bites of sweaty balls?
Where'd you find it at?
It didn't. If I found it, I was going to bring it.
You were going to spend like $12 on two pints of ice cream?
I was going to bring it in. We were going to do a taste test.
Of Schwede balls?
On the air, of Schwede ball. We're going to put those Schwede balls in our mouths on the air.
Spoonfuls of Schwede balls.
Yeah, just dribbling down our chin.
I like to microwave mine and soften them up.
Yeah. You need to. They freeze it so hard. It's for transport.
True story.
That skit is like 12 years old now.
Yeah,
right?
Is.
Like, this was like pre 30 Rock Alec Baldwin when he really wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, it was between Beetlejuice and today.
I love Beetlejuice. That's a good movie.
Week number 2, baby. Beetlejuice. Gonna get it.
You know what? We never said that one story, the Gumby, that was recommended by somebody on Facebook. That was recommended by Carlo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to recommend stories to us, do it on the Facebook group, or you can go to, you can email it to us at thosedamnrosskids@duckfeed.tv. Just letting you know.
Do you want to talk about any of your other shows? You mentioned the Don't Tree Riddle. Did you want to plug any of the others?
No, it's fine. You're good.
Okay. Because you have a couple more shows.
I do. I have a lot of shows.
Yeah.
It's a network, Chris.
We have an open podcast relationship, apparently.
Chris.
Variety's the spice of life, right?
Chris, I'm cheating on DTR with you.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cheating on you with Watch Out for Fireballs.
Can we go to Hartford, Connecticut for a minute?
I would love to, Chris.
Awesome. 44-year-old Philip Conran pled guilty to risk of injury to a child last week. He's been sentenced to 3 years of probation and 200 hours of community service. Why, Cole?
I would imagine some kind of terrible crime.
Because he posted a Craigslist ad in April 2010 inviting anyone who read the post to a surprise orgy at his neighbor's home.
Surprise orgy.
Surprise orgy. His neighbor did not know that there was going to be people coming over for this orgy that was advertised on Craigslist.
Chris, surprise orgy just sounds like a euphemism for gang rape.
This ad led to several strangers knocking on the neighbor's door. One man went to the wrong home, groped a teenage girl, and was arrested.
Wait a minute. So the guy who posted the ad is being put in jail for somebody else groping a teen?
Yeah, because the guy wouldn't. Yeah, it's circumstance. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I could see accessory, but
he wouldn't have been there groping that teen. But would he have been groping a teen?
I think so. I don't think that this guy can be held accountable for somebody committing pedophilia.
Would he grope a teen?
Would he grope the A team?
Yeah.
I don't think they would abide that. Mm. I can't see that.
The T abides. Yeah. The T abides.
We need to get the license to use Mr. T's likeness to make that a t-shirt. Or just make it the T abides, the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Yep, but it would have gold rings. Yeah.
It would kind of look like a cross lake, though, because, you know, with a gold chain around a T.
The Christ abides?
It would kind of look like that, yeah.
I don't know. Why does every t-shirt and makeup, you know, turn out to be religious? I don't understand.
Poor sacrilegious.
I don't like this though, because that's like basically thought crime. That's like future crime. That's Minority Report level shit. I could get anybody in trouble if I just go on and I post like Craigslist listings and just get them in trouble.
Free inside locked door garage sale.
Exactly. Everything must go.
Everything has to go. Yeah. Firefighter practice starting tomorrow. Everything must go.
Hey Chris, can you tell me a story?
Yeah, man. Have mercy.
I'd rather not.
Okay, Uncle Joey.
I've established...
That's how his name was from Full House?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, gotcha.
Dave Coulier?
No, the other... No, Uncle...
Wait, no. Wait, Uncle Joey was Dave Coulier, right?
Who was the other guy? Who was John
Romaine
Stamos.
No, John Romaine Stamos, yeah.
John Romaine Huevos.
Delicious.
Yes.
It's delicious.
Eggs and lettuce. They're awesome.
I think Uncle Joey was Dave Coulier.
John's famous romaine huevos.
Oh, man.
All right. Anyway, a merciless California woman doused her roommate with gasoline and torched her with a lit cigarette before taking a seat to watch the writhing victim burn. When cops were called to the scene, they found the female perp cleaning off her driveway with a hose, while the badly burned victim was a few feet away inside their home. Police had been called to a dispute at the residence a few hours before the incident, leaving after they thought everything was going to be okay.
Those cops are, they're like to blame for this.
That's the thing. What are you going to do? Like, you know, like... The bomber, you know, like, is like, oh, go ahead, you know, you're only going five over, and then he crashes into a building and, like, you know, a daycare or an IHOP or something.
Exactly. Right?
Happens all the time. Like,
happens literally every single day.
That's got to be worse than survivor's guilt.
That's got to be, like, murderer's guilt.
Yeah.
They're accomplices to this.
Mm-hmm.
They're accomplices to personal arson.
To future crime.
They're accomplices to personal arson, which I have frequently described as the best crime in the world.
It is.
It is. There's no getting around it. I can't get around it. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about lighting people on fire.
I know.
It is a real problem.
One note tab?
It is a serious problem. Barbecue time.
One note tab?
What?
You guess barbecue time?
Yeah.
No. Well done, Rumi.
This has been Those Damn Roskits.
Hey, Chris, what can the listeners do?
After they're done looking at the other podcasts you do?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to do some cross-promotion. Go to duckfeed.tv. We do plenty of podcasts. Just added another one to the rotation. It's called Watch Out for Fireballs. I do that with Gary Butterfield from the Dead Idea Valhalla podcast. We just released our first episode about Mega Man X. If you're listening to this, please go and listen to that and at least review us. We're trying to get in the new and noteworthy section, which, Chris, this is relevant to your interest, because if that gets into new and noteworthy, that gets a bunch of listeners, and then everything else on the network gets more listeners because of that. Mm-hmm. So this is our chance to hit it.
This is the shot.
You know, this is a practice podcast that we're doing right here for that one, which is going to be the good one. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, well, I'm glad I could be here for you.
Yeah, but that is a retro games podcast. If you're looking for more current video games news, you can check out Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This. That is still going strong. That's about current video games. And then there is a radio drama comedy thing that I am distributing called The Misadventures of Sherlock Jones, which is made by some people that I used to work with. So go and check all those out. Review, subscribe, and especially review, subscribe to this one and leave us nice thoughts. And be a fan of us on Facebook. We actually got a new fan. Did you see that?
Yeah, I assume that it's probably to do with Carlo, because
she's from Hawaii.
She's from Hawaii. Hawaii. Yeah.
Hawaii. Havana.
Habana. Puka Dog.
Puka Dog surfs up. Holmes.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think I saw that on No Reservations.
But if you fan us on Facebook, we'll mention you on the podcast, which is our way of inducting you.
And then you'll be famous.
And then you're going to be famous. You're going to be proxy famous. So get on Facebook so we can call you out.
Instant message us?
Yes.
Yeah. That way you could say you cybered someone famous.
And send us an email at thosedamnrosskids@duckfeed.tv.
Do it.
Do it.
Now.
Good night.